Warm greetings to all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. There are no accidents in your life and in my life. Our lives are all ordered by God, and God placed us here in the 21st century for a purpose. So no matter how difficult the times are, as Christians, we can be victorious. We can overcome, because God is almighty. Just as there was a generation that was born at the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be that generation that will be born at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible called this period the last days. And that's what we find in chapter 3, verse 1 of 2 Timothy. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. The word know there tells us that it is a knowledge that you continue to gain. It's experiential knowledge. It is not cognitive knowledge that by one observation you will get a complete picture. It is a process. It is experiential, where with every passing moment of your life on this earth, you're going to see more and more of these perilous times. It is not something that you can control. It is something that is very real, and we are living in that period. For this period that we are living in is called the last days. In the last days. How do we know? Well, the start of the last days. When did this period called the last days begin? Now please note the plural. It's not last day, singular. It's last day. So you describe a period of time. Where does this begin? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2 gives us the start of the last days. That's the beginning of the period of the last days. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, referring in particular to the Old Testament, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So in other words, the start of the last days began with the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some events would have already transpired during this period, which the Bible calls the last days. Now, when will this period, the last days, end? Now, we know from Hebrews 1, verse 1 to verse 2, that's the start. Now, when will it end? Now, to look for this span or the ending of the last days, we turn to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, where we have the message by Peter on the day of Pentecost, verse 17 to verse 20, Acts 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days, plural, quoting Joel chapter 2, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now this was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Now there is no such thing as multiple fulfillment, only single fulfillment. Once it is fulfilled, it is done. There is no multiple, repetitive, double, triple, quadruple, unending fulfillment. That's not the nature of God's prophecies. Because God's prophecies are very specific, they are very exact. This prophecy of Joel chapter 2 was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, as Peter affirms here. In other words, what they have just seen and experienced on the day of Pentecost was a fulfillment of prophecy confirming the last days that Israel and all of us are living in. Because the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ started the beginning of the last days. And the Pentecostal experience affirms or confirms that we are in the last days. Now, where is the end of the last days? verses 19 and 20 gives us the conclusion of the last days. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day, singular, of the Lord come. So we are living in the period, last days, plural, and the final day would be the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. And you will find a description given by our Lord Jesus Christ pertaining to the last day, singular, very similar to what you find in Acts 2, verses 19 and 20. Matthew 24, 19. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, referring to the 7 years of great tribulation described in the earlier verses of Matthew 24, which the Lord himself called this the great tribulation. Note verse 21 of Matthew 24. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. Note the similarity between here, what the Lord Jesus Christ described, and Acts 2, verse 19 and 20. And the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Amen. So the conclusion of the last days would be the second coming of Christ. And before that will happen, you'll find certain signs that will take place up in the heavens as well as on the earth. A fuller description of this period would be found in the book of Revelation, where you study the chapters pertaining to the seven trumpet judgments and the seven bowl judgments, and you'll find a similarity in Matthew 24 as well as in Acts 2. So the last days would be the period that we are living in, and it started 2,000 years ago when we call this AD 1. First AD. That's the start of the last days. Last days of what? Last days of man's existence. Last days of man's economy. Last days of man's rule on this earth. Last days of crossing border using our passport. Last days of what we know this earth to be. In other words, when the day of the Lord comes, as you have read earlier in Matthew 24, God will send forth his angels, and God will collect and gather all his elect, all those who are his children, especially the 144,000 Israelites, as described for us in Revelation chapter 7, 12,000 from each tribe, the separation of the sheep and the goats, the gathering of the good fish and the bad fish, the wheat and the tares. Now all these are parables describing the same event. The last day when the Lord comes, he is going to gather all his elect, and those who do not belong to him will be cast into hell itself. And they will be burned and they will be punished. There is no annihilation. And in these last days, Paul warns us as he wrote his final epistle to Timothy, for he understood scriptures that we are living in the last days. Perilous times shall come. Now that was 2,000 years ago when Paul wrote this in his epistle to Timothy. 65 or so AD, before he was soon to be martyred for the faith. He knew he was living in the last days. We must know that we are living in the tail end of the last days. Don't sink your heart in anything that is of this earth. It will be burned up, it will be destroyed. Don't put your hopes in the words of men. Don't let this earth be considered your home. Your home as Christians cannot be on this earth, because this earth has a very strong finality. there will be last days. That's how God described man's existence. Just as there was a beginning in Genesis, there will be a final conclusion of your sojourn on this earth. This earth will be gone. The society that we are so used to, so comfortable in, will be no more. That's what it means. And that's why it makes no sense for Christians who have eyes that have been opened by the power of God to have, be able to see God's revelation. We cannot live as if this world is our home. We cannot go to work day after day as if this is my eternity, eternal dwelling place. We cannot do that. We cannot afford to do that. Otherwise, how can we say we are Christians, we are able to see into the future as God has revealed to us? We are in the last days, and you must define these last days according to God's description of everything that you know. It will come to an end. Last days. That's how God described this world of ours. There will be the last day, singular. With every passing day, it is one day closer to the final, final last day, singular. Last days of man's existence. Powers come, powers go. Powers will come, powers will go. Now we are living in the last of the last days. America might be the last and final superpower before the final superpower arises from the ashes. And that will be the reign of the Antichrist. And before that happens, God described for us the environment, the circumstances that will bring forth this final superpower of the Antichrist, which will be global. He called this perilous times. Perilous times. Twice is this word used in the New Testament. This is the second. The first is found in Matthew 8, verse 28. You'll be surprised because that word was used to describe the demoniac. You know the demoniac who was possessed by a legion of demons who lived in the tombs in Gadarenes, where the Lord Jesus Christ touched and healed him. And the word that is translated there is the word fierce. You see the word fierce there, exceedingly fierce? Now that's the word that is used here to describe the times of the last days. Perilous times means very ferocious times, fierce times. Are we living in that kind of a scenario where people are very ferocious, very fierce? They will want to push their way through. Whatever is right and seemingly good in their own eyes, they will just simply want to push it through. Doesn't matter whether it is right in the eyes of God, it's immaterial. As far as man considers it acceptable, they will just simply push it through. Many countries used to believe in capital punishment. But now they call this barbaric. It's as good as calling God a barbarian. Do you know that? Because God was the one who gave us the law of capital punishment. You find this throughout the whole scriptures. Capital punishment, a life for a life. Anyone who lowers the standard of life rejects capital punishment. Do you know that? But they twist the whole thing around and say that those who practice capital punishment, they have a very low view of life. When the opposite is true, because God has the right view of life and God has elevated human life the way it ought to be. But then now man just simply bulldozed their way through. And any nation that practices capital punishment will be chastised by the rest of the world. They will be castigated, they will be rebuked. Recently, a British citizen was killed by the Chinese government, I believe. And they were rebuked by the rest of the world as wrong. Never listen. They were bulldozed. Alternate lifestyle. Many of the sins that you find from verse 2 onwards, that's the picture of the perilous times, the fierce, ferocious times that we are living in. And it is not going to go away because you pretend that all is well. And if Christians will not see these sins for what they really are, we are going to be caught. We are going to be stumbled. We are going to be eaten up by these people who will practice the sins as if it is not sin. As if this is the way of life. They will turn that which is evil and call it good. That is very, very prominent and most common nowadays. And they, by the numbers, will win. Because society of the society, nation of the nation, go by this word called democracy as if it is the solution to all of man's problems. Democracy basically, as described by the book of Judges, is every man just simply will do what is right in their own eyes. That's what democracy is. We just simply do what the majority wants. That's democracy. Majority want to vote this government in, let them. And so this government will pander to the whims and fancies of the majority so that they can be the incumbent that will be returned back into office. Is that not the way of our world? That's the ferocious and fierce times that we are living in. That's the meaning of perilous times. And they will reduce you of all your strength, suck away all your strength and energy. That's the meaning of the word. That's the root meaning of the word. That's how ferocious they are. They're going to frighten you, make you afraid, make you shrink. That's what they intend to do, and that's what they will try to do, especially to Christians. We're not talking about physical life. We're talking about eternity, because the Bible is a spiritual book. We're not talking about terrorism. God warns us, do not be afraid of him who can destroy your body, but has no power over your soul. But fear him who has the power over both your body and your soul, and that's God himself, for he is the only one who has that power, not even Satan. And so when we are warned of the perilous times, we're not talking about your physical well-being. Christians are not afraid of their physical well-being, because if you are born again, absent from the body, present with the Lord. We are not afraid of death, we're not afraid of incarceration, because our destiny in eternity is safe in the hands of our Lord. And no one can take me out of my Father's hand because of Christ Jesus. God has given us that assurance. But the spiritual aspect is totally different. Please do not think that as Christians, you do not need to do what is necessary and needful. And trust everything. Though God will do and take care of everything. Yes, God will do his part, but God has given to us human responsibility. You cannot blame God and say, well, you did not elect a person, and then you live a terrible Christian life and you stumble this person. And this person has a very low view of Christianity, and he hates Christianity because of your bad testimony. You have succumbed to the perilous times, and you, because you cringe in fear, you have allowed these perilous times to cause your testimony to capitulate. And you cannot say, well, God did not elect them, and therefore they are not born again. But you are held responsible. You cannot just simply blame God for everything. You and I are given the privilege to be a testimony, to be a witness in these last days. And God warns us in advance, 2,000 years earlier, warns us that we will live in perilous times. Fierce, ferocious, difficult, dangerous times. And that's where we are right now. And if we are not aware and awake to this, we are thrusting our children into the lion's den. We focus so much on their education of their mind to prepare them for the world that is on this earth, but we forget to prepare them for the world that is to come. And we fail the Lord, and we fail so many of our loved ones and our friends because we fail to see that this is a dangerous world that we are living in for our children. And the only safety and safeguard is Jesus Christ. You think education can solve the world's problem? Because that's what our government thinks. And that's what our government is pushing so hard for. to improve our education, because education, according to them, will be the key, the foundation for our nation's survival. They are right as far as the economic world is concerned. Train our people. Gear them in a direction that they will be useful in the society. That's true. But when society is going to be destroyed, when society will crumble and fall, will be non-existent, what are they good for? For example, if Noah was the most brilliant and most capable of all computer engineers before the flood, what the world was like, we do not know. But they had many, many hundreds of years to develop the world that they lived in. It could be just, if not more advanced than the world that we are living in. But when the earth was destroyed by water, when he opened the door of the ark after a year and 10 days, to his horror, everything was changed, was transformed. Whatever skill that he had for the past 600 years of his life was completely useless. Completely useless. When the last days fall, will you, will our children be ready for the times that we are living in right now? Because the last days, when it comes, Satan knows, and he is very ready and prepared. The Bible warns us, Satan knows his days are numbered. When he knows his days are numbered, what do you think Satan would do? He will redouble and redouble and redouble again his efforts to make sure that the world continues to come under his sway. And God will give him only 7 years to do his utmost to deceive the world with all sorts of miracles. And for the first time, an idol will be able to speak, because he will cause his statue to speak, as Revelation 13 will reveal. And then he will mock and he will make fun of God's word. The Bible says, idols, eyes they have, they cannot see. Mouth they have, they cannot speak. And then he will say, well, this idol spoke. He will deceive the world and the world will fall for it. And the only safeguard against this perilous, fierce, ferocious, difficult time is Jesus Christ. But how in Jesus Christ? He is the living word, the written word, the word of God is the key. The word of God is the only safeguard to protect our children. Not the education of the world, your science, your math, your geography, your computer, they're all helpless and useless against the wiles of the devil. Against the long list of sins that you find here, which God willing, we hope to deal with one word at a time. When we deal with it one word at a time, what we're going to do will be basically do a word study, which we have not done before. Preach a sermon using word study. You know how to do word study? That means every time this word appears, we will go through it. Throughout the whole Bible, how this word is used in other contexts, we are going to try to study and we're going to deal with it. That's what we hope to do. So that when we are aware of the sins, the nature of the perilous times that we are living in, hopefully we will be warned and we will take the necessary step to protect ourselves, to protect our friends and our children and our loved ones from this long list of sins that will destroy your witness and your testimony for eternity. Remember, we have two lives to live. The spiritual life, the soul. That life, the moment you are born again, is saved. But then there is this earthly life that is in God's hands. How many years you have on this earth is in God's hands. And the perilous times will impact and affect this life. And this life can be lost. As you can see in the example of Lot. He lost his life. Oh, he was saved. But the physical life that he could have done so much for the Lord, with Abraham, his uncle, as an example, he lost it. And because he lost that testimony, that life, he lost much more. He lost his wife. He lost his children in the process. And some of his daughters who were married, they were not even born again. They perished in Sodom. They were not part of the righteous. And those who were righteous who left with him two daughters, they were not that righteous, in inverted commas, in their conduct, because they committed incest with their father simply because they wanted to continue on their lineage. They didn't care, because they picked up and they imbibed the principles, the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. which they were brought up in, which they were immersed in, all because Lot wasted his earthly sojourn. Don't think your earthly sojourn is not crucial, it's not important. It is of utmost importance because of the impact that you can have in the people around you in the midst of the perilous times. That's how you shine the brightest in the darkest hour, and we are in the darkest hour. And these times are fierce. Satan will use every way, every means to trip and to cause Christians to stumble. And the ways and means are basically classified into two kinds. Persecution, that is by pain. Seduction, that is by the sugar cane. Seduction. Seduction is far, far more effective. And he will continue to use seduction to seduce us and lull us into a sense of false complacency. And then we think that all is well because my life is well, my children are happy, they are studying hard, and so therefore all is well. And this kind of calmness is deceptive. And we are living in that kind of deception. Our people come to church and just go through the motion. All is well, our church is well, we have good, healthy financial standing with our tithe and offering. Practically every room here is air conditioned. Now the fellowship hall is air conditioned. We are all so comfortable and we are lulled into a sense of calmness. As if we are no more living in perilous times. You look at the long list of sin, there's nothing about your physical life. Everything is spiritual. Your earthly life will come under a heavy onslaught from Satan because he knows his time is numbered by God. Not him. How do we know that? Because perilous time shall come. And the word shall come is in the middle voice. You know what that means? Nothing can stop it. It will come and it has come and it is not dependent on any external forces. You cannot educate the whole world and then perilous times can be pushed aside, can be delayed. It will not. Otherwise, it will be put in the passive voice. Something external will cause it to come. It's not. It's middle voice, that means it will come on its own. You better be ready, you better be prepared, because it is 2,000 years ago when this prophecy was given to us. This warning was given to us. In the last days, we are in the last days. The Bible told us that. Hebrews 1, it has begun. Confirmed in Acts 2. And that's 2,000 years ago. We are in the tail end of this period called the last days of man's existence, man's time on this earth where man can rule, man can enjoy all that they want. God says it will come to a swift conclusion. Because after the Lord returns, he will rule the earth for 1,000 years and then this earth will be destroyed. That's why it is called the last days. In the past, you have the Babylonians who ruled, and Babylonians have their last days when the Medes and the Persians defeated them, and then the Medes and the Persians will rule for a season of time, and then they too were defeated, and then the Grecians took over, they ruled for a moment until Alexander the Great died, and then they too were removed, and then the Romans came forth, and so the last days only of a particular empire. But the rest of the world continued to exist, and then new superpowers will arise. But this is the last days of the world, of all human empires, of all human nations. It will be the last days of our existence. That's what it means. Because when the Lord comes, the millennium will come. And the millennium will be a recreation of the whole earth. And everything that you used to do, all your expertise, will be useless in the millennium because it will be a brand new world, just like in the days of Noah when God washed the world with water. This time he will wash the world with fire, burn and destroy and recreate the world all over again. Whatever skills you have as far as the education of the world is concerned will be useless in the millennium. It is only good to keep body and soul together in this life. Emphasize their studies as much as possible, but never at the expense or at the neglect of their spiritual. And even in the course of encouraging them to study hard in their science, in their maths, in their Chinese, in their English, by all means, but do it with a very clear and heightened sense of spiritual emphasis. Teach them to pray before they study. Teach them to pray after they study, during their study, and after the exam. Teach them to praise God and to thank God for seeing them through. Let the reality of God, of Christ, be part and parcel of their day-to-day life. Because that is true reality. Their studies will soon fade, their working life will soon be no more, but the walk with God will become more and more real with every passing moment of their lives. And that will continue on into eternity. Is that not true? Your fellowship with Christ? But your work on earth, your studies, all these will become a thing of the past. When a person dies, what is most useful for him in heaven? You think his math, his science, his computer expert, and all his engineering skills? Useless in heaven. But the only knowledge that he will continue to enjoy and apply in heaven will be his knowledge of God's word. Because that's where God is. Now he walked by faith. When he is in heaven, he walked by sight. Everything will become so real. He will see. Now it's by faith. One day it will be by sight. And may that day be soon. But before that day comes, perilous times. And it shall come. Future middle voice. Guarantee. Nothing can stop it. No man can stop it. It will come. And dear friends, it has come. We are living in perilous times. But God makes no mistakes. Because God will enable His Christians, His children, to live a victorious life, even in perilous times. No matter how difficult the times might be. You study the history of the church and you find throughout church history all sorts, different levels, different degrees of difficult times for the Christians. In the first couple of centuries, persecution. When Nero blamed the Christians for burning Rome, the increase in persecution, 3-4-fold. Because in the past, only Jews hunted down Christians, because the moment that happened, all Roman citizens hunted down Christians. And then when Constantine came up as the new king, new empire, thinking that the cross was the one that brought him the victory and his conquest, and he turned Christianity into a state religion, that was the beginning of the end of the pure church. If you want to be part of my empire and rule with me, Constantine said, you must be a Christian. So everybody started to become a Christian. It became a respectable state religion. And that's the dilution of the Christian faith. So from persecution to seduction. And it has continued on non-stop. From the 16th century Reformation, it was persecution all over again. And then it continues, and now we're living in an age of seduction of the Christian faith. But to be a Christian is no more a stigma, no more something that you run and hide because you're a Christian. Now it has become a status symbol. I am a Christian. And so we wear around our neck all the beautiful, expensive jewelry to identify as I am a Christian by our platinum crosses. No more the wooden cross that we used to carry. Now we hang them around our neck and no more carrying them on our shoulders. We have forgotten. This is not a playground. This is the perilous times that we are living in. And souls of men, women and children are at stake. God has brought them into your life. How have you been impacting them? You must pray for them because it is a spiritual warfare. Pray for them and live for the Savior wherever the Lord sends you forth. Because the last days will come. And the moment it becomes singular, everything stops. You want to serve by then, it's too late. It's too late. You want to come to church, you want to come for prayer meeting, it's too late. You want to come for evening service, it's too late. It's no more. It's over. Don't be like people who will only appreciate something after you have lost it. Don't we ever learn? Don't only appreciate your mom and your dad after they are dead and gone. Don't appreciate only your siblings after they are dead and gone. Don't make the mistakes that many of us have made. Appreciate one another. Value the days that you have on this earth to serve the Lord with a spiritual emphasis. Bear in mind that we are living in very ferocious, fierce, difficult times that will more often than not sap you of all your strength and energy. That's the meaning of the word parallel, sapped you of all your energy. That is the purpose of Satan. Drain you out. How? By distractions, by all kinds of methods and means and ways. And that's what you'll find on this list. Pleasures. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Sap them of their time and their energy. Is that not how Satan works? And that's the world that we're living in. You're going to treat all these in greater detail every Sunday evening by God's grace and God willing, if He tarries. And that hopefully will warn us that as Christians, we can be victorious in Christ Jesus if we know of the dangers that we are treading in front of us. You turn on your TV, you sign up for this program, that program, it is an attraction that will sap you of your strength, sap you of your energy. You sit on that computer, how much time you spend on it, is it beneficial? Will it help me draw closer to Christ? Will it help me be more effective in my service? If not, change. Turn it off. Evaluate. Guard yourself. Computer games are so addictive. So very addictive. How much of our time and energy have been sucked by this evil? Part of the perilous times, because that's the meaning of the word. Fears. Fears in what? Fears in sapping you of your strength, of your time and your energy. That's what it means. And then you lose your testimony and your witness. Because God has saved us for service. Why do you think Paul gave this instruction to Timothy? It was part of the pastoral epistle. It was for the church, for the pastor to teach the church, to warn the members, but first the pastor must take stock. The pastor must take note. The leaders must take note. Because if they don't, you think the congregation will? The congregation will not, because they will take the lead from the leaders. When the leaders do not realize the perilous times, it is very difficult for the people to be mobilized and to be aware of the perilous times when the pastors and the elders are sleeping. Pastors and leaders must be the one who will set the pace and the momentum. They must be found in God's house, prayer meeting, not as a duty, but as a strong desire, because they want to know the Lord, they want to commune with the Lord, they know that this is where the battle lies. And they live a life that will reflect that. They are the ones who must come for the evening sunset service, for all the fellowship, because they must set the pace. They must be ready, because that's why this passage is found in the pastoral epistle. Not in any other epistles, as a warning to us. Perilous times shall definitely, certainly come. And they will come on its own. It's as if it has a life of its own. It's not going to be stopped, it's not going to be delayed, it's not going to be controlled by anyone or anything. Because God wants us. God is the only one who can control it, and God allows it to come. And dear friends, you leave this sanctuary, you go out there, it's a very dangerous world that we're living in. You wake up tomorrow morning, for many of us going to school, it is very dangerous. You go to school and you are not aware of what you are doing, and you lose the spiritual significance and focus, and you get sucked into this school system of ours that will push you along, and before you know it, 2010 is over, and all you have done for the Lord is to study hard, and that's it. And you get your A's, by all means, but what have you done as a witness for Christ? Gosong, zero. You go to work, it's the same thing. It's the same kind of parasite. You suck you of all your strength, or your time, or your energy, and you will lose it all. And another year will be gone just as 2009 is over. You can't call those old days back again. It will not come back, but 2010 is ahead of us. Perilous times. You and I can be victorious. By God's grace, with God's enabling, because we are Christians. Circumstances cannot stop the power of God in your life and in my life, in impacting the lives of the people around us. And we can do so, so much when we pray, when we study God's word, when we live for the Savior. The victory is won, but the battles are not. There are many battles for us to fight. What will you be? A soldier for the Lord or a casualty of the evil one? Make your choice. Don't think this world will be friendly to Christians. It never has. It never will. Because light and darkness do not mix. Believers and infidels, they cannot be friends. You live for the Savior, for we are living in perilous times. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we know, O Lord, that there are no mistakes in our lives, for our lives are in your hands, for thou art sovereign, thou art God Almighty, and thou hast placed us in this world in a time such as this, perilous times. May thou strengthen us, grant us the conviction to live for the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days, to know, O Lord, there is so much to do with so little time. May thou send us forth to do thy bidding as soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, with victory in our hearts and on our lips, that we may live for our Savior, and not for this world, and not for man, but for thee and thee alone, and use us in these last days to be the salt and the light in a world that is in deep, deep darkness. For we know that perilous times shall come, and they are already here. For 2,000 years have come and gone when these words were written by thy servant, the Apostle Paul. Help us therefore, O Lord, to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom, to pray without ceasing, to study thy word without end, and to be a witness for our Savior, especially to our loved ones who are in our lives, whom thou hast given to us. May we truly shine for our Savior, for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.